Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 272, the Easter box office report.
Literally.
We took a week off, so I guess you could say we have risen.
We have risen. We pushed the boulder away from the tomb. We are back in the light.
Nice that you use that to make a resurrection joke
instead of
an erection joke.
Well, you know. It is Easter.
And this is a Paul Walker themed episode.
I've been saving them.
Yeah, we'll be speaking of resurrecting things. We'll be resurrecting Paul Walker jokes.
Yeah.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And on the phone with us, we have a special guest. Hello, special guest.
What's up, guys?
I just noticed, was that like that last time on the computer where we had like a little picture where we could see him?
No, because we didn't have, Jim Hill, I don't know that has a webcam or whatnot, but
he's still rocking a TI-99. Yeah,
he's calling.
Well, in his defense, a TI-99-4A.
Well, you gotta, you know. Right.
Not the crappy one.
No.
Yeah, the good one.
Yeah.
Some shameless plugs. Knock those out quickly.
Do it.
Okay. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You could join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week, there are plenty.
A plethora.
Is there something new that would cause an influx?
No.
Easy, buddy.
No, just because the Easter holiday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just them. They're a little Easter present for us. Dustin at Nerds of Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Linnea Thunsell, Jason Herndon, Timmy Tuzoons, Griffin Fox Smith, Brett Schulte, Tom Kaminsky, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, or Brenton Smith,
depending,
if you so
on,
choose.
Yeah. Depending.
Depending on whether or not he has a monocle.
Correct. And a top hat.
Ken Mills, Alex.
From the Zilch podcast, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He shared an episode last week. It was nice. Alex Perozo, Lane Levanway, Andrew Ortman, Chris Sanders, and Librarian Cynthia. And we also.
Yes.
If the Real Spoilers page on Facebook isn't enough for you. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers.
That's right.
We now have an actual Facebook group, so you can join there and you can post stuff that will, like, we, you know, when you post on a page, it just kind of gets buried on off to the side. Nobody ever sees
right.
it. Where here, it gets put in people's faces.
Yeah, as
a
people
more.
Respond to it, it pops up. You know, it stays pretty high on the feed. You can, yeah. kind of, you know, you can post. Within reason,
yeah.
You know, anything you want, and
we can still delete your stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't
like
get us
crazy.
Wrong.
But I think that's the biggest part of the group versus the page is that it's more about discussion and interaction with the listeners. Because, yeah, on a page, like Tom says, if a person just posts something on a page, it's to the right side and it's very small. But on a group discussion, anyone can post and it comes front and center. It looks like a page from. Or a post from the page.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to get your link or your, you know, question, whatever, right up front. And then it goes by, it's sorted by most recently discussed.
Correct.
So someone leaves a comment on something five things back, it actually rotates back up to the top. And people, you know, are more apt to see it.
Facilitates discussion.
It yeah, does. So yep. So please join that. There's a link on the Real Spoilers Facebook page. And
or if you go to Facebook, you can just type in Real Spoilers League, and you'll start to see League of Show Sharers pop
yeah.
up,
yeah.
and you join that one.
It'll have the logos, yeah. the chicken bagawk.
Yeah,
yes. That's our logo.
Yeah, and so it's not one or the other. I mean,
do them both.
Yeah, at this point in time, it's not like, you know, don't leave the page and go to the group, but, you know, the page is more for
what
things.
What if someone wants to leave both of them?
Well, then Joe comes by and we know how he resolves his issues.
Takes care of that real quick.
But if you go to the page, that's going to be more posts, obviously new episodes, going to be interesting news items, entertainment related, all that stuff. But it's not so much discussion. Again, feel free to comment or whatever. But, you know, if the listeners want to post something that they have seen recently, they're going to be more apt to be seen on the
show
shares.
If you've seen, you know, you indulge yourself in a deep fried taco. Post
that's
your post a poster or something.
Yeah, and Joe can tell you if you talk about Monster Squad how right you are.
Yeah,
if you talk about anything else,
how wrong you are.
And then any right thinking individual will tell you how wrong.
Right. I'm just saying, I feel like we have more supporters of the movie than we have deniers on the page.
I disagree.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
You don't disagree
with myself.
Whoa. Yeah. I was like, wait
a minute, Jeremy. Have you ever seen Monster Squad?
No, I have not.
Get off the podcast.
You are a lucky, lucky individual. We envy you. Or at least I do.
I got these jokers to watch it for a show.
Oh, man.
It was great.
I don't know how we let them rope us into that.
I'm very persuasive.
I guess if we do this long enough. So
just a story of my life. Yeah. Just wear them down till they say yes.
That's not rapey at all. And you have two daughters.
I have two. Yeah,
you're gonna
right. So it worked twice. How long have you been married?
No, I'm just like, is this advice like, you would like them to take with older?
No, just punch them in the nards.
So your daughters will date wolfmen.
That's well, whatever the, you know. I'm cool with it. Whatever they choose, as long as they don't turn into wolf ladies, I think that's fine.
But Joe is 2 for 365 times 7 or something.
Yeah,
like
right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. That's good, you can do the math.
Yeah.
So also don't forget we're available on iTunes. Joe,
yes.
What would you say if I told you we had a new iTunes?
I'm gonna say we have one.
We do have a new iTunes.
I looked it up
because you cheated.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
You were way too confident. So. This is from Shy Bun?
Sure.
Or She Bun?
Either way.
I don't know. So
as long as it's not Man Bun.
Yeah. But if they leave 5 stars,
I guess that's true.
We'll turn
I'm cool with it.
Ever so briefly to their Man Bun. So he and or she says, really great. It's very enjoyable to listen to while you're brushing your teeth or something.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
I'll take it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Very entertaining, as well as saving
me. Does he say, I don't know?
He does say, okay. I don't know. He says, very entertaining, as well as saving me money so I don't have to watch the movie myself. So thank you, she or Shy Bun, however you say that.
Yeah, no, thanks for, you know.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. So I guess that is it for the shameless plugs. We can now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and if anyone thought that number one movie of the week wouldn't be, what is this called, Fast 8, Fast and the Furious
The
8.
Fate of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious. Okay, thank you. That's so obvious that they would go that route. If anyone thought that wasn't going to be number this
weekend.
Why
would they not spell it
I know.
F8?
That is I thought that they did.
Like, why
like
would
until
they
until I saw the poster.
It's going to be Fate of the Furious, and it should read F and then the number 8 of the Furious.
I agree.
This is the one time that actually works for them.
So
like.
Here's my question. So this has to be one of the longest running franchises, right?
I mean, you know, as long as you're short James Bond.
Well, no, that's the longest running of all time.
But or Star Wars.
No. I mean,
this comes. This
or
is
or Friday the 13th.
That's the other one that I was thinking.
Or Halloween.
No, Halloween's not on 8.
No. So no, I was thinking the same thing though.
They're on.
Oh, so they haven't made it to 8.
No, so technically.
Oh, you mean longest run in terms of entries, not in terms of like length of time.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's what I mean. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. So if you think about Star Wars, they're on 8.
Star Wars is coming up on 8.
Right? No, they are. With Rogue, they're on 8 films in the actual franchise.
I don't. So to me, like, okay.
I mean, it's an 8th
that's
film
fair.
In
it's
the franchise.
Star Wars.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's true.
Like, so
that's,
so you've got that.
It's on the back end. It's a Star Wars story.
And then I was thinking of like, Friday the 13th has 10 or
11. Well.
Whatever.
They have a total of 12, including a reboot.
Yeah, so they've got that many. But I was thinking about, then James Bond obviously is in the
24?
Yeah.
No, 25 is the next one. Right?
Is it? Yeah, they're getting up there with like.
Wasn't Skyfall.
It's in there. It's approaching. It's going toward 30.
Can I give you something that will really make you feel sad?
Yeah.
Please.
Police Academy.
How many of those are there?
8.
Really?
So it's just tied Police Academy.
There are 8 Police Academy
films.
I thought
there were 6.
Nope, there are 8. Wow.
But this is, I mean,
would you like me to rattle them all
off? Yeah,
off
yeah.
Oh, please.
Police Academy, Police Academy 2, Police Academy 3, Police Academy, no.
yeah. Thank you, son.
Yeah, it was really, it's amazing that he can remember all this. Let's see, I'm trying to find out. There was Police Academy, and then Police Academy 2, their first assignment, and then Police Academy 3, back in training, Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach, Police Academy 6, City Under Siege, Police Academy 7, Mission to Moscow. It's weird. This only lists 7, but if you ask
I
wonder if there's like a made-for-TV one or something.
Did Gutenberg star in all of them?
No, he bailed around the fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Goot.
But yeah, I think you do get Michael Winslow in all of them.
I think you probably do. Something tells me Michael Winslow didn't have a lot going on.
There was also a live action series and an animated cartoon.
I do the animated cartoon. That was a Saturday morning on CBS, I think.
But either way, I mean, Fast and the Furious, the thing is, though, okay, so they're on number 8.
There was a Police Academy Next Generation.
Ah!
And I think they consider that a new, Wikipedia did.
Like a new.
So, yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Has there ever been an 8th film, aside from James Bond or Star Wars, like... Has there ever been an 8th film that isn't in one of those pop culture just phenomenons?
Friday the 13th.
That has gone on to make $1 billion. Oh, dollars. No. I mean, Police Academy.
I think Friday the 13th has made $1 billion collectively.
Yeah, and Police Academy 8 probably. What did Police Academy 8 make? Do you have even a $20 figure on that?
Whatever Jeremy paid to go see it.
I haven't been listening to a word you said because I've been reading up on Police Academy 8. And... apparently, it came out in 2016?
That can't be. That has to be like a digital release. That can't be right.
It was in a two-pack with A Christmas Story 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Slapshot.
Yes.
Wow. And then I found an old article from Hollywood Reporter from 2014 that said that they were trying to get Key and Peele to produce Police Academy reboot.
See, now that would be smart, to get two amazing writers to get in on something, reboot it, reach a whole different demographic, yeah, which is actually pretty much everyone when it comes to Key and Peele. But you know what I mean? They would put a completely different spin on it.
Key and Peele have a demographic. It's just people.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to reach more than just like, oh, okay, I love Police Academy, so I'll see 8. Like,
it would
Key and Peele would
freshen up the franchise for younger people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Do you think a police movie?
Police Academy 3, Citizens in the Sunken Place.
Go to sleep.
So the deal is, my main point with this is, Police Academy 7, I don't even have a budget on. I mean, these things are straight to video at this point, making no money. How about Fast and Furious making over $500 million already worldwide? It came out here in the U.S. three days ago.
I will say this one is better than the last one.
Well, let's get into We'll probably save that for a different episode, but... My point is, though, that most series, if they're not Star Wars, if they're not...
They're petering out.
Petering out. Like, 8 is a straight-to-video.
Well, this one was petering out, and then they...
Wait, I don't know your definition of that. You'd have to explain that.
So, they were on the decline, so you had 1 with Vin Diesel, 2 was, riding off the coattails of 1, and then 3 was a completely different thing, and I don't think 3 did... Well, I think it did it okay, I think.
But that was the one without Vin Diesel, right?
And Paul
Tokyo
Walker.
Drift.
Yeah, there was nobody from
Vin Diesel was in it.
But he wasn't
tacked
the selling
on at
point.
Right.
Yeah, but Paul Walker wasn't
in it.
Yeah,
but you're talking about a decline from 5 movies ago. You realize that's over a decade ago. These have not been on the decline for a long time.
They were on the decline, and then they realized, and then they rebooted. They pretty much rebooted their franchise without rebooting it. Because, the fourth one, Fast and Furious... was like a time jump backwards, I think.
Well,
yeah, because doesn't Tokyo Drift technically take place in the future?
Before this, Drift takes place after all of these movies.
Three
already.
Takes place between 5 or 6 and 7 because seven Han dies, and so obviously for him to be alive, it would have to be right before 7.
Right.
But my point is, though, that when you say they were on the downcline, you're talking about after the first one.
First two.
Well, but, you can't really be... I mean, you have a,
they
you
realize,
have a first
I,
one.
But I think that, I think what he's saying, and I don't disagree, is yeah. I think that, that the franchise was on a trajectory that said yes. it was circling the drain,
yes.
and then somehow they revived it and turned it into a juggernaut.
Yeah. Into and, what it is now.
And so, yeah, the strength really came back when you're talking about, you know, with 4, they did what they should have done from the beginning is kept the main characters in it.
I think the main characters got too big for their britches.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. I think the reason it was circling the drain is Vin Diesel thought he could be a movie star in something that wasn't Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And that
and he
turned
could.
Out...
Like, he did, I mean, Triple X, which that first one... did but well, but
nothing has done what Fast and
no.
Furious has
and,
done.
But then he no. tried it. But then the second one, he thought he was too good for that.
That's true.
And then they brought him back years later for a third one, and nobody cared.
Right.
And then he tried to bring back Riddick, and
nobody
cared.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then he tried to be like that dark and gritty action star that was doing like down at like man. No, there was like two or three action movies where it was like not fun. Like the movies weren't fun. I can't remember what they were called.
He did that one that was basically like he turned his D&D character into a movie. And
oh, yeah. Like, that was bad. The Witcher? No, yeah. The Witch Hunter?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's really the one thing he starred in other than... I mean, Guardians, when he says, I am Groot. Part. Yeah, I mean, there's got the kids movie he tried to do. But, you know, it's a little early in his trajectory for the kids movie, right? So you've got you've got Eddie Murphy.
Tell that to The Rock.
Yeah, that's the Rock. The Rock did all those kid movies.
That's
so he
true.
Did The Walking Tall, and then he didn't do a kids... He didn't do an action movie comeback until...
That's true.
Way later.
You're right. In the Rock's case, it wasn't a, okay, now I've got to do kids movies. Like,
right.
That's where I moved on to, like all the other, you know, aging
he got that,
actors.
He got that Disney money.
He built his notoriety on that. So that was an exception, I have to think. But no, Vin Diesel did The Pacifier, and then The Last Witch Hunter was really...
I think the reason The Rock pulled it out, because he was definitely on that trajectory. Like,
which one?
What do you mean?
The downward?
Yeah, the downward.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing
yeah.
kids movies, and it was like, you know, and
not good kids movies.
No. And I think the reason he pulled it out is because he's not an arrogant prick.
And, I get that feeling.
And he was willing to take smaller roles
yep.
in bigger movies, and it gave him a credibility that he wouldn't have had otherwise. And
yeah.
so he was making what the Tooth Fairy and things like
yeah.
that. And
Escape to,
but it was a resume builder.
Right. But instead he's like, you know what? Yeah, I'll be the third guy and
be cool.
And yeah. Well, I think Be Cool was more like he wanted to do something.
I think he was still new.
He was trying to stretch because
yeah.
he played like, didn't he play like a gay,
he was a gay, like
say, performer,
yes.
singer or something.
Yeah.
But I think that he was like, yeah, I'll be the third guy in G.I. Joe.
Sure.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, and I think like over time, and that's how he entered this franchise, is it
was
like
a side character.
It was one more, you know, moderately well-known name to put on the poster. And now, I think
it's his franchise.
I mean, I think that's why Vin Diesel and him don't get along.
Yeah.
Is I think yeah. Vin Diesel knows, like, he's like, I'm only going to make 3 more of these. And I think the studio is like, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll hand it over to The Rock. We're
yeah.
good.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And I do, like, after seeing this one, like, this is the one where I'm just like, this might not be Vin's franchise. And this is not why. It's not this may not be. This isn't.
Yeah.
Like, this was his movie. And
yeah.
Vin Diesel was a character. They flipped. Like, they
yeah.
did from, what did he show up in? 5? Was that right?
That was the
Fast
first
5
one.
Was the
yeah.
first one. And
yeah.
now they've flipped character. Like, they've, there was a character shift.
Yeah. Well, let's wait to get into that.
Yes,
but the main thing that we're getting to here is, I mean, The Fate of the Furious, this is the 8th movie in the franchise. It came out, you know, 2 or 3 days ago in the U.S., and worldwide it has made $532 million. A half a billion dollars in 2 days.
Warner Brothers is like, why can't we do that?
Yeah, I mean, this franchise is just insane. So, it's like, these are billion-dollar movies at this point. They know that if they make a Fast and Furious
oh, yeah.
movie, it's going to make $1 billion.
Where are all the other car movies?
I'm shocked.
You know,
I mean,
they tried it with, what was it,
Need for Speed.
Need for Speed.
But other than that, nobody's even really attempted it.
I think that they, in a weird way, they set the bar so high.
That's never stopped Hollywood before.
That's true. That's true.
Look, I know, but the problem is, though, okay, so at this point, this is almost like a Marvel film versus DC at this point. They're so established and they're so far in that if someone wants to do a Fast and Furious competitor, you would have to have so many names, you'd have to have so much talent, such a huge budget to even have people think about, well, that's just a Fast and Furious knockoff.
I gotta disagree.
But if you could make half or a third of what this movie makes, it's worth it.
If you do like a dirty...
But they don't have the budget. They're not going to risk $200 million.
They do it all the time.
You could remake Bullet and just do that one scene.
Yeah.
And you know, the French Connection.
Yeah. I think if it was that easy that we'd be seeing it. I think people are scared that anything else is an imitation.
I mean, when they'll sign up every crappy comic book that ever has been put out by IDW.
Snatching up everything now.
Yeah. But they won't be like, let's make another car movie.
Right.
You know, I mean, in the 70s, it was nothing but car movies.
All car movies. Right. Yeah. You know?
But so this is the exception of the rule. What's the last great car movie that came out? Tell me the last one.
Fast.
No, what we're saying.
This isn't a great car movie. So
yeah, tell me the last great car movie.
I mean,
it's like this. This just was
Cannonball Run, the first one.
Yeah, think about it. This was just magic. This was
Smokey
just
the Bandit.
The fact that this
but that's
worked.
Older than Cannonball Run.
Oh, this really? Came out. This came out at the height of. I mean, this was the early 2000s. This was
2001, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So this was people, you know, souping up their cars and putting the neons in your car and all that stuff. And somehow it turned from that
when Ja Rule was popular.
Right. Yeah. Think about it, though. Think about it. The first movie, Ja Rule. The second movie, Lil Bow Wow. Or the third movie. Sorry.
Yeah. Tyrese's son, the second movie.
No,
Ludacris. Was he in the second movie?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
But Tyrese is the main character.
He's still around, right? Isn't he one of them?
They both are. Yeah. Tyrese and Ludacris are both
But I'm just saying, like, I'm talking about, like, pop culture, rappers, artists going into the film world. So you had, like, the artists were Ja Rule, then it was Tyrese and Ludacris, then it was Lil Bow Wow,
yeah.
And now we've got The Rock, you know? And, like, think of how this franchise has transformed. So somehow they just
figured out the formula.
And
that fifth one, the fourth one was a little wonky, but it still made a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And that fifth one is where they were like, oh no, we're going to go balls out and just the most ridiculous. And in this one, we'll get into it, just does the same thing.
I believe the fifth one is the highest critically revered film since
the fifth one's beginning. A lot of fun. That fifth one was, was a lot
of... Is that
of,
the one with Mexican tunnels?
That was I think. The Rock was in the fifth.
So
that's
the fifth one, it's the one with Gina Carano and Luke. And this is where Luke Evans came from, is that fifth movie.
Okay.
Where they have like their where The Rock is on the chase. The Rock is the one chasing down Vin Diesel and they're running through like Brazil, I think.
I don't think it's any coincidence that the fifth one is what really started this. The 1 through 4 are a different movie. 5 through 8 are superhero movies.
Yes.
And The Rock joined in 5, and that is not coincidence.
No.
I mean, it transformed it. So it's amazing that right here you've got the 8th entry into a car racing franchise making $500 million in 3 days.
It's not a car racing franchise anymore.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't a Marvel property. This started out as, you know, The Fast and the Furious was Point Break remade into a car racing movie.
Yep,
like,
pretty much.
Think about that on paper. How that sounds, and would you ever? No one ever thought that would have been a billion.
Universal's like,
it was right place, right time. Someone made a lucky
lightning
guess.
In a bottle.
Just real quick, recent car movies: Italian Job.
Oh, good call.
And Mad Max.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't consider Mad Max a car movie.
Oh, that absolutely is a car movie.
How is that not a car movie? They get in a car and the opening
drive,
and then they drive that car for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
while other cars chase them.
It's an hour and a half chase scene.
Yeah, I can see it, but I still disagree.
Italian Job is good.
When I think of heists and racing and car, I just
that is a
Mad
heist.
Max.
They stole the water.
I get it, but I'm just saying that the Mad Max is such a weird, strange thing that sits out. Like, that's its own genre. Mad Max to me is just this
post-apocalyptic.
This incredible thing that happened that I've never seen before. Don't know if we'll ever see again unless George Miller gets behind the camera.
You'll see one another 20 years.
Yeah, it's so. But Mad Max is brilliant, and Italian Job remake was good, but other than that, I mean, it's like Fast and Furious.
I still say
someone needs
Death
a re-
Proof. Oh yeah, I'll give you Death Proof.
Was it? I'm trying to remember that one.
That
that's
was the
half
that was,
of a movie.
It's not half a movie. It's an hour. It's an hour and 10.
Well, right.
Death Proof. Sorry, I was thinking Death Race, and so that's I was like, but that wasn't good.
Yeah,
and, but Death Proof. Okay, yeah. That
it's
was
half
good.
Of the double feature with Tarantino.
But it's still a full length feature, yeah. So yeah. it's not like they did 2 45-minute movies.
No. I just mean it's not like on its own. It wasn't like, you know, it was part of that 2-pack.
No, they split it. They released that on its own for about a week. And then they split it in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
I just remember it coming out with fake trailers and two in a row. And
fake trailers of movies that actually got made.
Yeah, Machete.
Machete got made twice.
Ended up retroactively not being fake trailers. Right. Yeah. Kind of hope that doesn't happen with our fake news.
Oh, no. It already did. Don't worry.
But think about this. So Fate of the Furious, the 8th entry into this franchise, $250 million budget. At this point, giving this franchise $250 million is like, whatever. They just throw them $250 million.
Sure, man.
They know they're going to make 3 days.
Yeah.
Over $500 million in 3 days. 250? They're in profit now.
Like, I'm interested to see
Does this franchise, does it have toys?
No.
No.
They used to have a video game. I know they had video games, but they don't have toys.
You would think that you'd be able to go and like buy the little cars and stuff.
Nope.
It doesn't even do that. It's not like a Cars property. They don't. I mean, I think they do have probably some random,
like high end for adults,
but it's
collector
not,
stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like Walmart, Target toy aisle toys.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You don't get to see them. They're not lined up next to the X-Men.
I mean,
right.
This
that just seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I would, sure. Well, maybe it's not. When you make $500 million in 3 days,
yeah, it's nuts. So anyway, obviously, Fate of the Furious number one this weekend, and we'll get into that one next time. But coming in at number two, The Boss Baby. So again, I mean, this has kind of taken over the lead from Beauty and the Beast. It made another $15.5 million, which is a 41% drop. We were off last week, but it also was, I think it was number one last week. But it has made $116 million, and it has made another 120 some odd overseas. So you're talking about this one being a quarter of $1 billion, and I don't have a budget on it, but what do you think? You saw it, Tom?
I thought it was fine.
I saw
like,
it.
I thought it was like it was weird in that like the premise of the story leads you to ask questions like if the baby, we talked about this,
we did, yeah,
the baby comes down from heaven, is like middle management, and he's got, and he wants to get back
there's
up to heaven so he can go back to work.
Yeah, well, there's a they're trying to the puppies are starting to take over the love for the babies,
right?
So he has been sent, they've sent these different babies down to these parents of Puppy Co. to figure out what the hell. There is some new puppy that is coming out that's going to destroy all of the
like
love.
A designer puppy. Yeah.
So they are sent to
but if the baby succeeds and goes back to heaven, then
this
now
family
these
stands
parents
baby.
Will have lost a baby. So I'm like,
a baby who has no physical traits of either parents, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they're both brown. You know, they have brunettes, and then he's a blonde.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
So it was just like, you know, and they do eventually kind of have an answer for that. But still, I spent a lot of the movie asking questions of like, but that would mean this other really dark thing.
My first thought is like Men in Black, like the memory eraser.
That's
only answer you can have for that. When you introduce a member of your family, a child losing that,
really,
how else do you?
They really needed to like kind of have that reveal a little earlier in the film.
It's like literally like 10
the last
to 15
minutes of the movie.
Yeah,
because I spent the whole movie like, well, if he succeeds, then they think that their baby died.
Yeah.
Like that's. Not fun
or stolen.
Yeah,
either or.
But I guess you will see another Boss Baby movie based on how
big time.
So I
heard there's going to be a prequel where he has to fight a coat hanger.
Oh,
with a curved end.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
too soon.
Not really. No.
Okay.
I figure those things have been around for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Jeremy. So I have, according to Wikipedia, which, as we know, is never wrong, $125 million budget. So we're looking at about $250 million. So it's in the profit zone. It's week three. It's coming in at number two at the box office. So it still has money to be made. So that's a win for them. And that's DreamWorks, right?
Yeah.
DreamWorks. I mean, DreamWorks.
No, it's Fox.
It was DreamWorks.
Is
really?
It?
Yeah.
It says Fox on my sheet.
I wonder if they both did
or
it.
Maybe they like distributed it.
Yeah,
maybe
it was they did the whole little Shrek.
They were probably probably like a digital distribution or something.
I didn't realize Fox would team up with DreamWorks.
I wonder if DreamWorks teamed up with Fox.
Could be.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're pretty solid. Their track record is pretty good. So we'll have to see what comes in the following weeks. But number three, Beauty and the Beast. This is the movie that just crossed $1 billion last week. So
I sent them a card.
You did? Yeah.
Just congratulating.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really nice of you. So, yeah, Beauty and the Beast made another $13.6 million, a 42% drop in week five. It is up to $454 million domestic, another $588 million. So they're at $1.04 billion.
I wonder if Disney can, like, go to the government and say, can you just change the $1 bill to have
Disney
Walt on Disney on it? Because that's just our money now.
Yeah, it's well deserved too. That's the thing with Disney.
Oh, it's, yeah. Like they're making, they're putting out good
they
stuff.
They put out a solid product.
It's not like Warner Brothers where you're failing
despite
upwards.
Yourself.
Like Too Big to Fail. Like, yeah, okay, right. It's got Batman and it's going to make $700 million.
Right, right.
But does it really deserve it?
No.
But yeah, Disney obviously is doing quite well. So yeah, Beauty and the Beast still making a ton of money.
I love seeing these people. So obviously, talking about Disney, we kind of should talk about briefly the Last Jedi trailer. I love these people who are just like, it better not be like Empire. Oh, it's just like Empire. Well, it's just like, man, can you just be happy? Can you just enjoy the fact that we're getting a Star Wars movie? I don't think it's going to be like Empire. They did that obviously with Force Awakens just to get everybody back. Like, we're back. We're going to do this, you know, a certain way. And I cannot believe that people are just like, nope, Star Wars sucks.
Like, I think I like the world better when, like, if 1% of the fandom didn't like something, they couldn't just completely commandeer the internet with their
like it's the very loud minority is what has taken over the internet. And I agree. So with The Force Awakens, I loved the movie. So much fun. Saw it two or three times in theaters.
Don't let Jeremy talk.
I we're not gonna let we can't let Jeremy talk. But no, but with The Force Awakens, I loved the movie. It was such a fun experience. But my only complaint, and not saying there weren't nitpicky things, whatever, but my big complaint was it was so similar to episode four. But that's it. I still enjoyed it. I didn't say it was terrible because of it, but I'm like, you know, the next one better not be just a mirror of Empire. But still, I loved the movie, and I don't think this will do it. I think The Force Awakens was a necessary evil.
I agree.
We had just been through three terrible, terrible prequels.
They needed to remind people why they love Star Wars.
Exactly.
And the people that are like, oh, it was too similar to New Hope, like, they're not wrong. Like, I also think that it needed to occur.
Absolutely.
You needed to
they reminded
us.
It's
a palate cleanser, pretty much, is what it is. Like,
absolutely.
This is why you like it.
Remember how good the original, you know, the OG trilogy was?
Right.
Remember how good it was? Remember how amazing Star Wars was? You know, if you saw it in 77, like Tom did, like, remember what that felt like? And I wasn't
Tom
there.
Tom drove himself to the theater.
But I wasn't there in 77. I didn't see it in theaters, but I still grew up with it. And when I saw The Force Awakens, I was like, yes, this is Star Wars. So they set us back on the track. Yeah, it did mirror episode four, but it still introduced us to new characters and some new ideas. And I think that this movie is now going to veer off that path. And I don't think it will be the same.
I think she's a gray Jedi. That's what I think.
Well, okay.
Which means she walks that line where she's not dark. She's not part of the dark side. She's not a complete Jedi. Like, she totes that line.
Well, so you're saying she's force sensitive, but she's not a Jedi.
No. I think she's a Jedi. She's a Jedi, but there are...
Rian Johnson just told us who the last Jedi was.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he did.
You're right.
Technically, she's not a Jedi. She hasn't been trained. But she's force sensitive.
She's going to be a Jedi, but she's going to be... The gray Jedi are a group that can move back and forth to the light and the dark.
Well, and I think that's what we've got coming for Luke.
Or he's the dark side.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, he's Jedi and good guy, but that's
he's always like, if you ever read any of the EU stuff, he did go dark.
Well, he's always been tempted. That's the problem.
It's stinking Skywalker bloodline.
Yeah, just like we saw in the prequels, which are not good, but still, it's that temptation to move to the dark side. And so Luke obviously is a very powerful Jedi, and I think that's where we're heading. But Rian Johnson came out in an interview, and he was trying to kind of beat around the bush at first, and then at the end, he's just like, Luke's the last Jedi.
I don't believe that for a second.
Why
would they give that away at the end?
Because he said it was clear. He said at the beginning of Force Awakens, it says that Luke's the last Jedi and he's hiding.
I'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Maybe she will be the last Jedi.
Maybe she will. It's not written.
Maybe
yet.
She'll be the first Jedi.
Oh.
Yeah.
That could be. There See? It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So there might be some trickiness going on. Oh, and also Carrie Fisher not in episode 9.
Which I think we knew that, right? Like they
they were tiptoeing around because Todd Fisher said they were going to repurpose her footage.
Oh.
And then we were wondering, were they going to do the CG thing? And so Kathleen Kennedy came out at Celebration this past week and she said, Carrie is in episode 8. She's amazing. We finished filming, but we totally rewrote 9 after that happened.
Oh,
so
okay.
So there's going to be an explanation, and
I heard they were just going to use all deleted scenes from Under the Rainbow.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they
why
were
not?
Just, they were just going to like color over all the Munchkins, make them look like Ewoks.
No, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
yeah. Nobody will ever tell.
They'll be
our CG is so on point now.
Yeah,
nobody will even know. That's actually, I'm glad they did that though. Like I did not like as fun as that last sequence
in
Rogue One.
You don't
was,
want to see a whole movie.
I don't want to see a whole
You couldn't handle
movie.
A whole movie
no,
of it.
No.
You couldn't.
No. That 5 second burst was just perfect the way it was.
Like porn.
Ah, 2 minutes. You know.
Oh, I just meant the burst
oh,
part.
Oh, right. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 minutes. You need to have that checked.
That's gonna chafe.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
But no, I'm very happy with that. I think that they're going to do episode 8 will be a good send off. I know they're gonna
sure.
do it right.
Oh yeah.
This is a friend of theirs, this is family to them, and the way they talk about Carrie and how long this relationship has been. And then some other people online recently I noticed were like, well, they said Carrie won't be in it, but they didn't say Princess Leia wouldn't be in it. And I'm like,
they're not
no,
gonna recast.
Not, that's what
no.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Kathleen Kennedy is not being cute. When she says Carrie isn't in yeah. 9, Carrie is Leia. Yeah. Leia is Carrie.
Right.
There's like, no other
the only
Princess
way,
Leia.
The only way they would ever recast her.
A prequel when she's younger. So, right,
yeah,
right, right.
Like
right.
Han Solo.
Yeah.
That's only
different. Way. No.
Not a chance.
Unless they do a prequel and then 40
and then
years from
right.
now, they're still making these movies. And
what
it's
do you
the
mean
same
still?
Actors.
When?
Yeah. They're going to be making these movies. Yeah.
When they're making these movies, exactly. So moving on to number 4, Smurfs, The Lost Village, which we did not review to the dismay of some of our...
Yeah, we did have some votes for that one.
Yeah.
I did like that Kevin... So on our group page, we posted a poll... you could either of what we would review. So it was Fast 8, Monster Squad, and the Smurfs. And Monster Squad for about 5 minutes was in the lead. And Kevin's like, I think I've made a mistake.
Yeah. It was hilarious because at first it was
well,
tied.
We just post an old episode.
Yeah, yeah right. Yeah.
Well, and that's the funny thing too is I'm like, wait a minute. Have these listeners not, do they not realize
no,
we have
they
a
just,
whole episode
they just
about
wanted
Monster
to talk
Squad?
About it again.
But no, luckily Fast 8 pulled out. Well,
hey, now.
Yeah, well, but Fast 8 took a very large lead.
Yes,
so I'm like, okay,
yeah.
this makes more sense.
I did like that my wife also voted for Fast 8.
Yeah, right. She's like,
She's
yes,
like,
I'm sick of this.
I've heard this enough.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is hilarious. Are we going to have to talk about Monster Squad again? Like,
yes, we are.
Oh, no, never. But Smurfs The Lost Village made $6.5 million in week 2, which is a 50% drop. So
is this the third or fourth entry into this franchise?
Second
or third, not
I know
fourth,
it's at least
definitely.
The third.
Yeah.
Because like, who was Gargamel? Was it Jason Lee?
No.
He was an
Alex
Chipmunks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It was
Hank
Azaria.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So this made like around $12 million last week while we were off. It made another $6 million this week. And it is at $24 million and $70 million overseas because...
Because it's
box
overseas.
Office. Yeah, so it's at approaching $100 million on a $60 million budget, so it's probably not going to lose money.
Yeah.
So nope. Smurfs 5, I guess.
Which, they've got a pretty good voice cast, I think. Like, they've got some pretty good comedic voice casting on this one. They've got, man, I can't remember who it was.
Well, let me ask. So, Tom, you saw this movie?
No.
No, you didn't. Oh, so you just guessed.
What?
I saw your mini review on the...
Oh, yeah, my mini review was It Blew.
B-L-U-E. No, I got it. Yeah.
Reads so, a little funnier than
I right. just wanted to understand. So like the whole
well
I
this
mean,
is a straight up cartoon, right?
Yeah,
like, up till now. So I mean really I guess you could say this is a reboot of the franchise because it had been live action.
Yeah, well no the Smurfs
no.
were CG.
It was CG.
Well, they were CG
but
there
they
were
interacted with
but
live
there were live
people yeah.
and this
yes.
is just a straight up cartoon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess yeah. my question was, since the beginning of time, the thing
yeah,
that
if you're going to tell me those other two Smurf movies were count as cartoons, and you got to call Star Wars a cartoon.
Right. Yeah.
You got to call Fast and Furious a cartoon.
Oh, big time.
So I was going to ask you, thinking you had seen it. I'm like, everyone has always thought, like, Smurfette is the one female Smurf in the entire Smurf village. Like,
right. Oh, yeah.
That just doesn't make sense. Like, from a...
No, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, there's a way in which it makes sense, but not in a kid's movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in this movie, like, I feel like when I saw the trailer, they actually called it out, and she's like, I'm the only girl here. And, like, I was wondering, what do they do with that storyline? I just...
I mean, I think we know what they do with
that.
Well,
the porn parody pretty much writes itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I want to know, what the hell do they actually do in this movie? But...
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I guess
I don't want to know.
I think they introduce another girl one. In this one.
Well, I guess some girl-on-girl Smurf action.
Yeah, that's I mean, at that point, she's like, I got to get something else.
Yeah. Boy, how... Boy, wouldn't that be a kick in the nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no!
Yeah, one girl, you introduce a second one, and she turns out that they're gay. Yeah. That would...
Damn it.
Well, son of a bitch.
I guess we're all gay now, too.
I think a lot of them probably were already...
That's probably true, yeah.
You know, gay for the stay.
Yeah.
Gay for the stay.
So, coming in at number five, Going in Style. Now, is that the old man?
Yes. That's that remake of the George Burns flick.
Okay.
Directed by Zach Braff.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Zach Braff directed that.
Correct.
I mean, I saw how that worked out with his last movie.
Yeah.
What was that?
The
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever the one that isn't Garden State, because Garden State is absolutely one of my favorite movies of all time. And then his second movie, after he kickstarted it and it made...
Oh, that's
remember,
right.
Remember, it was a big brouhaha, because why are people that are actually in the industry kickstarting when they can get financial backers? And it made, you know, it was at that time, I think, the highest raised Kickstarter. And it was also by someone that, like, could get funding, theoretically.
Right. He could have put up his own money.
Right, so it was a big deal. But, man, I saw it, and...
That's why it was kickstarted.
It was bad. Nope. I mean, it was just so boring.
I don't understand why people were mad about that. Then don't give money to his Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
If people gave money to his Kickstarter, then that's...
They wanted to see it.
Then that's how capitalism works.
I'm totally with you. I didn't get the outrage part of it, but it was part of that huge thing that... But anyway...
Wasn't the other one Veronica Mars?
But Veronica Mars
huge wasn't... They couldn't get it made. Nobody would back that.
Nobody would back it. But like, now... because now the highest grossing entertainment-based Kickstarter is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It made like $6.3 million or something.
Sweet.
So going back to Going in Style, the remake, I guess, $6.3 million. That is in week two. That's a 46% drop. It has made $23 million on a $25 million budget. It has 11 foreign, actually. So
even the old people are going to go see Fast 8. Right. Nah, I'm good.
So it's around 35 on a 25. I mean, it's not setting the world ablaze or anything like that. So
yeah.
I guess it's kind of just a ho-hum old person.
Yeah, it was not very good.
Oh, you did see it?
I did see it.
Okay,
it
so not worth your...
No.
It's not Grumpy Old Men.
Not at all. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
It would have been nice to have a movie like that. But
right?
This was not it.
Yeah, sometimes it works, but it's few and far between.
How was Alan Alda?
Arkin.
I don't know. He wasn't
Alan
in it.
Arkin.
Yeah. Fine. I mean, it wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
It was just a lazy script.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Let me put it this way. There's like a 25-30 minute sequence where they decide to practice for the bank robbery by robbing a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And that sequence involves them doing nothing but shoplifting. Now, I don't know how that helps you prepare to rob a bank, because you don't shoplift money
right
at a bank.
You just
they don't have shelves full of money that you can just put in your pocket. So
I
don't.
Is that how banks work?
And like I'm like, nobody really, while they were making this, goes, how does this prepare them to rob a bank? There's no corollary between shoplifting and bank robbery, but it's still a third of the movie.
But yeah, it's 25 to 30 minutes.
It's a long scene. It goes on and on.
So basically, they had these guys on set for a very limited amount of time, and they got this scene, and they're like, this is what we got. Like,
I don't know
what this must have been.
Like, I don't know what they were doing.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, so there's that. $35 million on a $25 million budget, and it is number five in week two. So it doesn't have too much time to make that money back.
Man, May's going to be a tough. May is... chock full.
Is there something coming out in May?
There's a lot of things coming out. I think all of the movies for the summer are coming out in
the
May.
Movies. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Number six, Gifted, made $3 million. That is a 572% increase. Apparently, that just got wide release. So that is all of the money that movie has made, and that's a Chris Evans movie.
Does he punch Nazis?
I don't believe in this one.
Then I'm not
but I haven't
it.
Seen it. No, I mean, I can't tell you for sure. Right. But that's directed by Mark Webb.
Yeah.
So, oh, all right. I mean, 500 Days of Summer, The Amazing Spider-Man.
I thought you were going to leave those two out.
That guy had a brief window.
He did.
He capitalized.
Well, leave those two out. Oh, you meant Spider-Man? Because I'm like, those are the two things he's done. He's done 500 Days of Summer, then Two Amazing Spider-Man.
He's also the, I think, one of the executive producers of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, the one you love that show.
That show is awesome, man. That's a great show.
Have you heard the good word about the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
That's great.
So that movie, I don't.
Speaking of that, what a weird. So I just watched John Wick again.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ava Longoria was an exec producer on that movie.
Yeah, it's weird how that works
out.
That
is very odd.
Yeah.
And
When you have friends, I mean, they have money.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
I saw her name as an exec producer. I was like, well, that's a weird name.
Let's say Keanu Reeves is friends with Ava Longoria, and she's got all that, show she does?
Desperate Housewives.
So he's like, hey, I've got a really good thing. You want to invest and make $10 million or whatever? Okay.
Sure. Why not?
Exec producer, just give me your money.
That's like Mel Brooks, producer on
The Fly.
The Fly and on Elephant Man.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And he actually said, like, don't put my name on. Like, he's in the credits, but they didn't do like an above the title because he's like, people will think it's a joke.
Yeah. Right. And
he's like,
just like After Earth. M. Night Shyamalan, and it was a joke. So
right.
That,
yeah.
Perfect, right?
Really, the odds were stacked.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's the new Mel Brooks Fly movie. Wait, why is his penis falling off?
Not Mel Brooks's.
Fell out of his fly.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I just threw up his own food.
Number seven, Get Out.
Oh, all right.
It's still.
I love it, man.
I mean, this is absolutely incredible.
They probably would have been happy with $3 million in week three.
Yeah.
And
you
ain't kidding,
right?
You know,
yeah.
For it to still be doing that.
$2.9 million, a 28% drop in week eight, $167 million on a $4.5 million budget, and another $16 million overseas, whatever. But we're talking about $185 million on a $5 million.
I wonder if this is. Can you look up what Paranormal Activity did?
Well,
as far as like
that percentage will never be. That was like $19,000.
Oh no! I just want to see how much it ended up making.
Okay,
like, and it's by the time it was done. Like, I'm curious.
Like 120.
It was close. Some. I'm just wondering if this is Blumhouse's biggest movie.
I don't think so. This is what Paranormal Activity was 107 domestic and 85 foreign.
Okay.
So
a much bigger foreign.
Close to 194 million worldwide.
Okay.
But when we're talking about ratios and percentages.
Well, sure.
Again, $15,000. That wasn't million. $15,000.
Yeah.
Like we could get together $15,000 and give it to someone to make a movie if it was going to make $200 million.
Like, I would do that.
I will come up with $5,000 right now for you, right?
I will write check.
Right? So, I mean, like, that's an amount of money that if someone has a good idea and you want to be an investor on it, like, you could make that happen.
Yes, you can.
And this movie made $200 million and, what, like six, seven sequels and whatever it spurred?
Five, for sure.
Five, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess six. The Ghost Dimension and the Marked ones were five and six.
Okay. All right.
So six sequels. So obviously that franchise is insane. But I don't know that ratio of budget to box office will ever be made again.
That would be pretty tough to pull off.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, basically at this point, when you make $200 million and your budget's $15,000, it may as well be free to $200 million. I mean, that's nothing, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, good for Get Out. That's incredible. Number eight, Power Rangers, the reboot, $2.8 million, a 54% drop. It's up to $80 million on a $100 million domestic. We go over to the foreign side, $47 million. It wasn't the foreign juggernaut that I would have thought it would have been.
Thank God.
Yeah, that means it's going to we won't get another one.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, though, $80 million plus $47.
I'm surprised, honestly.
$130 million on a $100 million budget? That's awful.
Yeah. It deserves to be awful.
Now, I don't know toy selling. I don't know what toys do in the Power Rangers world. They may have sold $200 million in toys. So, you know, there may be something behind the scenes we're not seeing as far as profit
goes. But think in order to see a major spike in toy sales, you would think it needs to be a movie that a lot of people saw and loved. And $80 million tells me it's not that.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not a phenomenon, so certainly. And it didn't deserve to be, and you can go listen to that episode. So, but I'm just surprised. I thought the foreign would have saved it.
Yeah, I thought it would have been stronger.
I thought it would have, too.
And it didn't.
And it released everywhere, right? Like, it's out everywhere.
Oh, by now, it's week four. I don't think they're waiting on many. And they can't afford to wait on many.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
At this point, they need some money. So, anyway, that was number eight. Number nine, The Case for Christ. Tom, I'm going to let you tackle this.
they're in favor of Christ.
I don't know anything about this movie.
I mean, it looks like it's one of those mega church movies. Well, it's like, you know, like God is not dead or whatever.
Yeah. So
I mean, just based on the title.
I mean, it's apparently in week two, so it came out while we were out.
I feel like they missed
out.
The boat on that one. Should have released it a week later.
Well, if it's week two.
No, it's week two, so this is Easter. This week
two. Yeah, they're hoping to pick up that Easter
business.
But we weren't here last week, but it's a 31% drop. So, I mean, this movie's at $8.5 million. I don't know much about it. I'm looking at the names. I don't see actors that I recognize or anything, but it made $8.5 million. So if it's one of these smaller budget ones, then...
It probably was. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like it, you know, it looks like it's probably one of those. It, you know,
it's definitely looks more art house.
It's like a Blumhouse Jesus movie.
Yes, it looks more. Yeah, it looks more art house than Passion of the Christ. You know, it's not a big budget one. So $8.5 million on that in 2 weeks. So we'll have to see if a budget comes out to even compare that. But they're probably happy with that. And rounding out the number, rounding out the top 10, Kong, Skull Island, still hanging around in week six, $2.6 million, a 52% drop in week six, $161 million domestic, and another $391 overseas.
Look at that big old Kong making all that money.
$550 million worldwide on a $185 million budget. So I think that the they're probably going to green light those sequels, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, how there's like a ceiling on these movies. Like, they don't ever seem like they just can't get into that superhero realm.
They're close, but
no,
you're
not. $500 million. It should be superhero realms.
I guess
be
that's
a billion.
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, I mean, this
superhero is guaranteed billion.
Like, this is their marquee character for a movie. Like, this and Godzilla, and they both kind of stall out around there.
Kind of like this the Star Trek.
Yeah,
idea.
So will their Godzilla versus King Kong do better than Batman v Superman?
Yeah,
will it be their
Avengers?
Yeah,
it could.
Right.
I mean, if they're doing, they've had two good lead up movies.
Right,
you're going to have a third one. There's going to be another Godzilla sequel before we get to King Kong versus Godzilla. If they just keep making good movies, you're going to get there.
Because at this point, Tom, so Kong Skull Island, I know you weren't crazy about it.
I liked it.
Yeah, we liked
it. Yeah, no, they were all, I mean, we all pretty much liked it. But what I'm saying is that would you watch that over any DC?
Oh, yeah.
You know, cinematic universe.
Not even a close call. Yeah.
So if you've got BVS making $800 million, let's say, and then you have these Kong and Godzilla. Godzilla was really good. I enjoyed Kong, thought it was really entertaining. So if you have those two coming together and they're actually
it's also weird. I think that there is a shift at DC. And I'm not saying that. I get it. I know that it's just like we've been had before. But I think the idea that they're adding the three directors that they've added.
Yeah.
With Matt Reeves, Joss Whedon, and Chris McKay. Those are three very different directors
but in their own right are all very strong.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they're not Zack Snyder. Like, if you look at their movies, they look nothing like a Zack Snyder movie. I you know, looking at that Wonder Woman stuff, I think that looks that the stuff that in those trailers. Again, in the trailer, the stuff on Themyscira looks completely different. So I wonder if there is some... And unfortunately, they show that Justice League trailer. I was like, well,
you know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? So when I was online, I realized that Wonder Woman comes out in a month and a half.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That is so far off my radar at this point.
They've said that they might be keeping it on the down low. Like, they're
a month and a half. Wonder Woman, like one of the biggest characters in comics history.
She is, like, female characters, she's it. Like, she's
right. I'm just talking about, like, there's Batman, there's Superman, there's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
They
are the Trinity. Like, that's,
and that movie's out in a month and a half.
Her books have never sold.
No, I agree. But she's always been front and center. Like, they always put her there with Batman and Superman. She's always right
in
the middle.
But the fact that could sneak up on you, I'm just like, seriously? That's out in a month and a half?
I wonder if... We jokingly said that it was some of the scorned exec where it's like, no, man, it's a mess. I wonder if it is a mess.
I wonder.
You know?
Or they're downplaying it, and then it's going to come out, and people are going to be like, what the hell? And it blows everyone's mind.
No, it's not. I'm not kidding. It's not possible.
I know.
Because DC is known for their subtlety.
Right? Absolutely.
But no, I do think that there might be a tonal shift coming in 15, 20 years.
thank you for your prediction, Joe.
Way to hedge your bets.
Yeah. Well, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess we can go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and at ReviewSTL.com.
And Jeremy, where can they find you?
On Twitter at Heinous J.
Awesome. Heinous with an H.
Yes.
And
just to be clear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an insane clown posse handle, the other one that you were thinking.
Yeah.
But
the Heinous goes to anus.
And Jeremy also has a written review up of what is this? I can't remember what this damn thing
is
called.
Fate of the Furious.
Of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious, Fast 8.
Yes.
So check that out on ReviewSTL.com.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, there are now two places to do that. Or I guess there's more, but there's a new one.
Right.
You can do it at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on our Facebook page on Facebook at Real Spoilers League of Show Sharers. You can go there, join the group, and have your voice heard a little bit more readily.
Yes.
You can also find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Did I say that one? Maybe I did.
You
I
didn't,
remember.
But
okay.
You may.
But if I didn't, I should have. I should say it twice. And you can go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and that's why we say it every week. So
yeah, I hope Jeremy has reviewed us on iTunes, and if he hasn't.
Oh, pressure's on, man.
Oh, I have.
Alright, he can be on the next episode. We'll invite him back.
So that's it for this episode. Coming up in the next one, we will tackle The Fate of the Furious, the movie whose name Kevin can't remember.
To save his life.
Until then, you've been warned.
Throw you in them county blues. Boy, what you gonna do? Act a fool.
Talk about traps, cops, and robbers. It's 911. Please call the doctor.
Evacuate the building and trick the. Since everybody want a piece, we gon' get your wig. See some fool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Slipped up and overstepped their boundaries. You about to catch a cold, stay the-